Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us, friends. No matter if you are the mother, the father, or the interviewer, or the columnist, no matter the role, you are a leader, and you have a purpose, and you're leading in that purpose. And our goal here is simple, to inspire and equip and help you all to lead where you are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will, on cue with his calling on our lives, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. What is cue? It is how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader who led a starved, desperate, isolated, broken people in building a wall around ancient Jerusalem and also building a way of life. He C-U-E them up. And C is for common ground. And it's what can we agree on while we've come together. Use unified thought. What vision can we share in the future? And what is that? What does that look like? And E is equally yoke. It's what is the game plan? What success is like? What's my role in it? And how do we go together in order to solve this? So Q leadership in general integrates biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah as a model, but helping you do two things. Number one, get people to trust you. And two, get people to follow you in discipleship. And so trust in discipleship is at the axis of leadership. No matter what you determine leadership is, you can bucket those words, those adjectives, those nouns, or whatever those connotations within those two elements, trust and discipleship. So as we always do, we want to start our show. So Lord, with a prayer, Lord, we are powerful, merciful, loving, thankful, and living God. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry and our audience, all that are serving you, Lord. We know that this Q leadership is your brainchild, but our calling in your name. We honor you today by doing two things, giving you the glory, and two, serving this generation through Q. Lord, your word in Romans 12:2 tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. And Lord, use this ministry and the audience and all in order to complete that purpose, to align, to equip and transform some new leaders for your glory. Helping others hear the call, receive the call, and raise some transformation leaders, some gatekeepers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So what do we expect during our time? As we always do, we like to have a dialogue, a conversation about leadership based in God's word. Equip leaders with a roadmap to tap into that faith and to tap into in order to build the trust and build discipleship. And thirdly, highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference who can testify to God's goodness, who are being transformational in their own right. I'll show us a lot of things, but it is not to criticize but shine some light on some truth and love. It's not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things, and not to focus on mere symptoms of problems, but get to the root of the problem. And as we always say, treat the infection, not the runny nose. So today, as with any day, let's be open that we hear the Lord and not me. We have the right questions in mind, and no matter what the difference, especially today, remember that this life is about love and surrender. There will be difference of opinion, and we like that here at On Cue, but let's do what a true transformational leader says. Let's agree without being disagreeable, be thought partners, and have a fruitful dialogue today. Still there? What went through your mind? You probably ask, what happened? Where is he? Why isn't he talking? Is the show having technical difficulties? Did he freeze up? Is my phone working? Did he go on mute? Or is your first time in the show? Is this show wasting my time and they don't have their stuff together? Or I don't have time for this? Or just simply, why the silence? There's some value in silence, and I try to use that in order to prove the point of what we're trying to talk about today. but we got your attention, your focus, and your interest. And too much of it would probably have resulted in you logging off or hanging up if I would have stayed off too long. But we live in a fast-paced world, and we're always in a rush and miss out on times. And we always miss out on opportunities for times of quiet. And there's great value in seeking silence and solitude in our lives. But the first thing that comes to mind when I think about silence is, the Miranda rights. You have the right to remain silent, or anything you can gets you in a court of law. Everyone kind of knows and heard that someone said that to you or saw it on television. There's some famous quotes about philosophers and public figures who talk about silence. Love this one by Dr. King. He says, the ultimate tragedy is not the oppression and the cruelty about the bad people, but the silence over that by good people. That's powerful. Another one from Zhu is, silence is a source of great strength. Right? Another one by MLK says, history will have to record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people. Another by Confucius says, the silence is the true friend that never betrays. And there's a Japanese proverb that says, the silent man is the best to listen to. And he even goes as far as to Plato and say, your silence gives consent. We've all heard that one, where silent implies consent, especially as a concept when we go into all social interactions, in which states roughly that people tend to assume the lack of response to an action as a tactic of approving that action. And, for example, the thought of the process, if no one complains about a junk car I have in my front yard, then it must be that nobody's bothered by it. In fact, everyone may be bothered by it, but they just being silent. Can I be sure that their silence truly means that they are consenting to it? Or in Robert's Rules of Order, if you've ever been in meetings and so forth, the majority is determined by the number of votes cast. In effect, abstention is silence does imply consent. And whatever society has done so for you, if you don't raise your voice or vote, abstain from that vote. Or silence could mean, I'm just tired of arguing. We may not agree, but I will no longer want to fight about it. With those in mind, which is, what about the headlines of the week in America's dad, Bill Cosby? As you know, Cosby influenced many generations, including me. Of course, I stand by, though, that TV, that movie, and the speaking career, and all the things he did for us. Can't take that away. But what about these allegations? So far, we won't cast all of that today here on the show, but so far, 12 women have publicly accused Cosby of assaulting them, and 9 additional women have done so anonymously. 21 women over a few decades with allegations dating back to 1960s, and even new accusers allege that Cosby drugged and assaulted them and coming forward and telling their story. When asked about these charges, as you say, in the interview back on the 15th on the NPR Weekend Edition, Cosby stayed silent. His lawyer later posted a statement saying he won't dignify these allegations with a response. But there's been a media frenzy, as you know. You just turn on the television, even this morning, in the Meet the Press with that, and the things are not looking good for Cosby, if so to speak. And nearly all the remnants of Bill Cosby has vanished from the airwaves. And I realize TV Land pulled all the Cosby Show reruns this week. NBC scrapped this sitcom that he was developing for him, and Netflix indefinitely shelved his stand-up special that's going to be aired this Thanksgiving week. Cosby's gone to great lengths to ignore, refuse to comment, deny the allegation, remain silent. Which with all of that has happened, was Plato right when he shared, your silence gives consent? Which really brings up our question of the day. Is silence consent? Helping us with that, as we continue, as we end our election series, with our Domino Talk Duo tour, my favorite people who I dearly love the Smith brothers. And if you haven't heard these brothers on with me before, it's for a treat. You would think that we're not, sometimes we get at one certain point, you would think we're not good, great friends, actually brothers. But these two brothers, Nehemiah and Jock, they are always raising the consciousness no matter where they go, providing a voice to the world. Reverend Nehemiah Smith, he's also editor-in-chief of the Weekly Defender paper in the Carolinas. And his brother Jock Smith is a good friend as well, man of God, father, husband, engineer. Both operate in the theater of ideas. So stay with us. It'll be a delight. Just want to bring them on after this break. And we're going to answer the question of the day, is silence consent? So during the break, still stay with us. Can't afford to miss this. You can log in with your thoughts here at Blog Talk, or you can call us at 310-861-2331 to ask the question. You could press 1 that virtually raises your hand. Or you can log on to our live chat room where Kennedy is covering that. You can have a dialogue there, ask a question, make a comment as well. We would love to hear from you, friends. So please call us at 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
They are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on your cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
We're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and His purpose. So today's question is silence consent. Helping us with that is you. Call us at 310-861-2331. But also helping us with that is that we continue as we end our election series with two of my favorite people who always come, and I dearly love, the Smith brothers. Reverend Nehemiah Smith and Jock Smith, both raising, always raising the consciousness, no matter where they go, providing a voice to the world and perspectives and insights that, to me, are like no other. Reverend Nehemiah Smith, he's editor-in-chief of the Weekly Defender in the Carolinas. Brother Jock Smith, man of God as well, father, engineer, husband, both operating theater of ideas. Let's give them a virtual applause. Welcome, brothers.
How's
hey, how you doing, Eric?
Hey, thank you. Thanks for joining us. I know you guys on the way back from a birthday party this weekend. I appreciate you taking the time out.
Oh, no problem, man.
Absolutely. Happy day, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, if you listen right now. So, as we always start the show, I know you've been on a few times, but especially for those who haven't heard you before, I always want to start with those first two questions, as I always do, right? And starting with you, Nehemiah, what is that one word that describes you?
I would have to say blessed.
Blessed. Okay. Say more.
Just blessed to have the opportunity to be a part of this program. Blessed to have the opportunity just to kind of influence the lives of people. Know that there are other ways of running the ball or shooting the ball. You know, you don't have to relegate to what you have to do.
Nehemiah, you're breaking up just a little bit.
I'm sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Telling young people that, you know, you don't have to be what society says you are. That, you know, you have an opportunity to open up different avenues for yourself, but you have to be exposed to different things. And so never be afraid to be exposed. And that's for me, that's a blessing, that you can have that type of influence on young people and just on people in general.
Just on people in general. So that more, is that also in line with, exposing the youth of around the second question, if money was no issue, what would you do every day? Would that also be thematic of what you'd be doing?
Well, if money was not an issue, I would feed people every day.
Feed people
and that,
every
that
day.
Would be the, yeah, just feed them every day. I make sure that they had, balanced meals, that children didn't go to bed hungry. Those are the type of things that I would do. And, I would have a free, kitchen that, you could come in and you could just eat, And I think that once that people don't really understand just how hunger plays a part in how people react and how they act in society.
Mm-hmm.
Hunger has a major role, and I've had an opportunity over the past few summers to really see just how hungry people can be. My mother started a soup kitchen at the church. That's very successful. We do summer feeding programs every summer. The first year we fed over 7,500 kids. The last year we fed about 43 or 4,400. So for me, it's all about feeding. You know, the word tells us to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, comfort the widow, and those things. I think that we should. That we are mandated to do, and we should do those things. So, I'm working right now on putting some stuff together for people for Thanksgiving and for the holidays. So I'm always looking for new and new ways to get out the message that we need to feed people.
Absolutely, absolutely. Serving at the end of the day, blessed and serving. So, Brother Jop, what about you? What's that one word that describes you? Let the audience kind of peek under your hood, and then you can go into what was no money. If money was no issue, what would you do every day?
Persistence is the word that describes me, and if money wasn't an issue, it would be teaching. Just lifting the veil, you know where I went to school, so.
Yep, teaching.
Lifting the veil of ignorance.
Yeah, lifting the veil, absolutely. Yeah. So, as we could go on a lot of different topics, a lot of different ways today, but I want to start off, I want to let everyone know that I usually send everyone questions beforehand, but we decided we're just going to have a dialogue, as we call sometimes a domino talk, just send around and have a conversation about You know, especially when the topic, the biggest topics in the news today, especially that applies to a lot of America. Nehemiah, if you follow this story in your newspaper this week or the last few weeks, but if you did, great. If you didn't, you know, what would be the thing? What would you say in the Weekly Defender? What would be your thesis around such a story with Cosby?
Well, we're working on this. I'm working on an editorial piece for this week. We did not, I think we did address it. I think we addressed it in a story this past week. But I had an opportunity to really sit down and look, because I'm not an automaton. I'm not one or a drone that says, okay, because the media says this, then it must be true.
Sure.
I think that a lot of people have rushed to judgment because, and it's this circular logic that's kind of getting me, that because so many women said it, then it must be true.
Yeah. So talk about circular logic. Talk about that.
That, you know, it revolves around. It revolves around a faulty presumption.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that and you keep coming back to the same, that at the base of or at the beginning of your argument, it is a faulty presumption. Oh, because so many women have said this, then it must be true.
Okay.
So, but what if it's not true? What happens if it's not true? And then they bring around this thing. Well, they're not coming in for money. None of these women want money and all this kind of stuff. And I just looked at it and it was I looked at it and said, this is crazy. I mean, we live in a nation. Supposedly we live in a nation of laws that says that we are innocent until proven guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it seems as if though with this. Media circus, that it's the other way around, that Bill Cosby is guilty, and his silence proves that he can't be innocent.
Wow. Well, you know, thanks for sharing that.
Solid, you know.
And we want to pick up a few of those in a second, but I wanted to turn to Jock. Probably should have asked this question before that, but Jock, before any of the accusations, mm-hmm. no matter what came about, or mm-hmm. before any of this, even after, I don't know how you're feeling about this right now, but when you heard the name Bill Cosby, what would run through your mind?
I mean, you know, it's not for these accusations. You know, most people think of, funny. You know, they think of a funny guy, educated, uplifting. Inspirational guy that really has played a big part, or did play a big part, like you said, when we were younger and you know, teenagers and in our generation, he played a large part in a lot of black kids going to college. I mean, just even considering college, you know, with the Cosby Show and, you know, the kids there going to college and everybody there having gone to college, especially HBCUs. So, you know, that's what I think of. In recent times, he has been more seemingly critical of our community, and rightfully so. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with constructive criticism, because all of his criticism was constructive. So I mean that's who I think of when I think of him. I also know, you know, by his own admission that he's not a perfect guy, you know. But nevertheless, I think he has played a positive part in the continuing evolution of America. So.
Okay. Nehemiah, and would you have the same sentiments, or you have something different? of when you hear his name?
In the piece that I'm working on for next week, I look at it from a different perspective.
Okay.
I didn't take the perspective that the media is trying to push on us. I looked at it like this. Bill Cosby, during the 80s and early 90s, was a force of nature on television. Like Jock said, you know, more young black men and women were interested in college and than ever before. There was also positive black images of family on television. The buffoonery was out the door. Here was a mother, a father, a family that sat around. They ate together. They prayed together. They went to church. They had the grandparents were involved. Bill Cosby also introduced the generation to those persons who had been influential in his career. You got to see Miles Davis, and you got to see Sandman Sims, and you got to see all of these people. And those were people that were about to be forgotten, and he brought them back to the forefront. And jazz, and he put our culture out there in a way that was dignified. And so here's a man who's now 70, what, he's 77, 78?
77, yes.
He's 77 years old, and he says to himself, as Shakespeare says, once more into the breach, dear friends, and he says, you know what, he had been talking about how these young black men are walking around with no sense of direction, walking around with your pants sagging, wanting to say that the system is against you, but you can't speak proper English. You're not interested in education. And when I saw that the NBC project was about, I think he was going to be like a grandfather, staying with his sons, you know, or one of his children. And I knew then that what he was going to do is he was going to address those issues the same way he did with the Cosby Show. And when we look at television and we see exactly how we are being influenced, and not only that, but how we are being portrayed, the system couldn't allow that to happen. We can't allow a man to come in here and turn this thing around as he did in the 80s. He got by us in the 80s. We had no idea. It was a cultural phenomenon in the 80s. But now that we know the influence that he can have an influence on these young men and women wanting to go to college and wanting to straighten up and wanting to pull the pants up and wanting to act like young ladies and act like young men. We can't have that, because that's gonna cut away at some of the other things that we have out here, like the prison system and the clothing the clothing industry and all this. We can't allow Bill Cosby to come in and have a positive influence on these young black men and women. We can't allow that. So what do? You do the same thing that you did to King and that you did to El Hajj, Malik Shabazz, and that you did to Gandhi and that you did to Mega Evers. You assassinate. You don't kill him. You don't kill him physically, but you kill his character. Put it out there. See, no matter how old they are, you have to be wareful of black men, because all black men want white women.
So even though there's a sister
in this, you know, that there's a sister that has come out since and said that this is happening. You have to now, you know, you got your Michael Browns and you got all kinds of things. Even here in North Carolina now, we have a big case that's about to come out nationally with Lennon Lacy, who was hung in Bladenboro, North Carolina, and after only a few hours, it was determined to be a suicide. But well, anyway, I'll get you the information so you can look at that. You may want to do a show on it, but it was destructive. The one man that I believe could have come and made a really big difference now has been assassinated without any type of proof. You haven't even allowed these. You haven't even made these women prove that these things are true. And then they're making some statements that he was so powerful. And so I asked the question to you, Eric, what black man do you know in the 60s and 70s was so powerful that he could, that his word alone was greater than any white woman that said, hey, he did this to me.
Well,
but we're not looking at that. We're just saying because so many women have come out and said that this is true, then it must be true. That's circular logic. A is true, B is true, so because B is true, A must be true. That's crazy.
So you're suggesting that this character assassination is coordinated. Are you suggesting that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, I am. I am suggesting that. I am suggesting that. And the reason why I am suggesting that is because I've listened to some of the women talk. Am I going to say that Bill Cosby didn't have some inappropriate behavior with, perhaps with some of these women? No. No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that it seems the recollections seem almost rote. And then almost that, and then additional to that, you hear them say, yeah, he did this to me, but then you find out that they went back again.
Mm. Wow.
That makes no sense to me. If you raped me, if you've raped someone and they have had an opportunity to get away from you and they know that they have been raped, then you're going to tell me that that woman is going to come back to you after she's been raped to be raped again? That's not a lot of questions for me to swallow. Yeah. That's kind of
a lot of questions.
And most of the women, Janice Dickinson, what's the lady, the model lady, the Tyrus
Dickinson,
I think her name is. Yeah. All of these women have said that they left, and yet they went back. And then I can't say that he raped me. All I know is that I was drugged. It's kind of difficult. Then we're talking about a time when, now with these cell phones we have now, we can take pictures, we can do all types of things. But all of a sudden, they don't know if he slipped them a pill. I think he slipped me a pill, and it's just too much. And yet at the same time, a thinking person should be able to sit down and look at the elements of what's being told and say, nah, that doesn't add up. Something's not adding up here.
So. Thanks, Nehemiah. A lot mm-hmm. to chew on, a lot to come at. But before we go to a quick break, I want to ask Jock this. You know, after all of what you've seen, with all these allegations, even the circular logic, and I see it as well, how tough is this to defend?
I don't know if it's Eric, I mean, when you look at the logic and everything, it's not tough to defend. I want to preface everything I say by saying that, you know, even though I do not, I can't say that this stuff actually happened or what I even believe that it happened. But you got to preface it by saying that, hey, if these things did happen, then they will catch up and they will be proven out. But you know, apart from that, you know, is it hard to defend when you look at the different situations, when you look at the different people? It's not hard to defend. It's just where are you defending it at? That's the hard thing about it. You know, when you are defending it let's say a utopian society or a society that is truly equal, then this is a really an open and shut deal. You know what I mean? You got to come with more than what they're coming with. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you're defending it in a society that has traditionally painted, black men, and not only black men, but men of color in a certain light, then the environment makes it hard to defend, you know, because he's not giving any benefit of the doubt, okay? And you can see that in that, hey, this man has spent his whole career, public career, as we can see it, right, building social currency.
Yeah.
Okay, building social currency. Trying to help people out, trying to educate people, you know, from what we have seen, right? So he built that social currency, but in his time of need to when he should be able to depend on that social currency, he finds out, like many other men of color, it's not worth anything.
Wow.
So, you know, that's the sad part about this whole thing. And
insufficient funds.
And insufficient funds.
Insufficient funds. That goes right back to Dr. King, right? Insufficient funds, I tell you. You know, I hate to break this, but I need to take a quick break. And because this is I want to pick up two elements to circular logic and building social currency. And you just give a lot of food for flavor. So after the break, we'll continue our dialogue with the Smith brothers. And I told you, if you're listening in, it won't be boring to you. These brothers are always at the edge of consciousness, I'm telling you. So stay with us. Log on to our live chat room and ask any questions if you like. Call us at 310-861-2331. Friends, we'd love to hear from you. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
They are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
We're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening on cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you leave where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and His purpose on your life. So today's question is silence consent. Helping us with that is you. Call us at 310-861-2331 to ask a question or make a comment. Helping us with that is two great friends, the Smith brothers, who always raise in the consciousness of wherever they go, providing a voice to the world. Reverend Nehemiah Smith, Brother Jock Smith. Brother Nehemiah is also the editor-in-chief of the Weekly Defender. And brothers, thanks for staying with us during the break. You know, a lot of currency, a lot of food. So I want to pick up at the end, Jock, what you just shared. It's so powerful where we're talking about Cosby. If you're those just joining us, we're talking about Bill Cosby and his latest allegations around him and the Reverend Nehemiah and Brother Jock Smith talks about having a the media or even society having character assassination based upon him because of the work he was about to do. The jockey made a great point here. It's probably going to be our quote of the show, maybe the quote of the year, to tell you the truth. It's where you talk, you describe Cosby of all his body of work over how many decades, five, six or so, where he's built social currency, and he finds that when it's time to cash in, there was no money at the bank, right? Insufficient funds. And that's such a powerful statement, that's from society. But my question to you is where are his defenders? Why aren't people adding money to that bank, proverbially, right, at this point? Where are they? Did we lose them?
Those voices.
You have. Hello.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, guys, we had you on mute there, but can you start over with that?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just saying that I think what happened is I think what you're seeing is a lot of fear because of the environment that we live in. I mean, everybody is fearful to stand up and defend people in certain situations, and to especially when it comes to these, as we've seen throughout, these situations with, I guess, domestic violence and not saying that people should be defended, but crimes against women. Nobody wants to be associated with that, and
sure,
rightfully so, right? So these are bad things. But I still think that there's no harm in coming out and stating that if there are people out here making statements about him that no one can prove, and that sound kind of illogical, and that, like Neil Miles was saying, and you rape once and you go by second, third, fourth, and so many times, and if you got people out there making these statements, then there's no dishonor, or there's no problem. We're going out and stating what people do know as facts about that same person. This is what we know about this person. This is what we know about this person. And that needs to be stated. And people are fearful of stating that because of the, negative consequences that could come from if these things are true or not. But think about it. If these things are true, or let's say they're not true, then guess what? The social currency that he's built up is still true. The factual things are still true. He still helped people. He still tried to educate people. Okay. Now, and this is hard for people to swallow, but let's say they are true, that these things are true, these accusations are true. Guess what's still true? The fact that he has tried to help people and he's tried to educate people during his career. That's still true.
Yep.
That doesn't go away, You might look at the person in a different light, and probably, like I said, rightfully so, but those truisms don't go away.
Wow. So, great points there. Nehemiah, any thoughts, anything you would add to that point of Jock about those who are sitting, don't want to be associated? It's probably a continuation of what's happening with the NFL, the Ray Rice, and other elements that are happening, trying to keep their distance. But what are the currency of those he's helped? Why aren't they out there saying something, coming to his defense?
Well, I'm not going to say that they're not out there. I'm just going to say that the voices of accusation are louder.
Say it one more time, Mike.
A lot like that. The voices of accusation are louder than the voices of defense.
Got it.
And a lot of that has to do with, believe it or not, it has to do with the news cycle. You run this thing over and over and over again until the next big thing comes along. You know,
mm-hmm.
this is going to be in the this will be in the news until the Ferguson verdict.
Yeah.
Whatever that's going to be, or whatever the grand jury hands down, and then you know, eventually it will spin its way out of the news. But you know, spin its way out of the news for a man that is 77 years old. And how much more, you know, will he be able to do? Probably nothing. You know, even if everything is disproved, probably nothing, because the purpose of it was to take him out of the game. We don't need him back in the game. We don't need him back on television with Family Values when most of the shows on television run away from that. We don't need him back on television making a positive influence in the lives of young black men and women and black people in general. We don't need that. We don't need him to come in and run this foolishness off of television and become the number one show on television again. We can't have that. And so after all of this has been spun out, then guess what? It had its for me. Looking at it from the perspective that I'm looking at it, it has had its effect. That hey, we got rid of him, we killed him,
yeah.
And now everybody's against him. Hey, it doesn't have to be proven. Nothing has to be proven. All we have to do is put it out there. Now it was different in the case of the late Marion Barrett. In the case of the late Marion Barrett, we saw what he had done,
mm-hmm.
and yet Marion Barrett had built enough of the currency that even after he had fallen, he was still able to rise again. He was still able to become twice. He was still able to.
You gave a great example. You gave an example. I want to give another example, and either of you can jump on it. Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Allegations of child abuse and all sorts of things, but still rose back and still renowned off the lips and times of thoughts of people across this world.
And then when you look at the
allegations. Help me with that.
But then when you look at his allegations, you find later on that what had been spun out, you find out that the people were there, they were trying to extort money from the man. They were trying to get money. Everything was based on how much money they could get from this man. And he was a man that was with Ryan White when Ryan White was suffering from HIV, and Michael Jackson made sure that, you know, he touched him, because that was at a time when, you know, you didn't even want people didn't even want to touch people that had AIDS. Michael Jackson touched him. Michael Jackson was there with him. You know, he helped. How he helped out his family, those type of things. But then there are always opportunities. And for the love of money, that we need money, it said, but for the love of money is the root of all evil.
Mm.
That once money becomes your God, you'll do anything for it. You'll even accuse someone that's trying to help you of inappropriate behavior.
Yeah.
You know, and so when you look at but then the common thread, the common thread across this whole spectrum is that there are black men being accused. Like, I don't know if you've seen this latest, I think either in West Virginia or Virginia, they had an interracial prom, and there was a young black man with a white girl, and he took her to the prom, and the teacher puts a caption, a meme that says, a white father's worst nightmare.
Who did this? Now you cut out before you said it.
Oh, this is in Virginia. The teacher says this. He puts out and it has the picture of these young people going to the prom together, trying to be pluralistic in how they deal with each other, and yet he puts out the caption, a white father's worst nightmare. So we are still vilified. No, let me tell you something. No matter whether you are degreed or not degreed, no matter whether you are rich or poor, no matter your station in life, the one common thread that all of us on this in this conversation can we have is that we have a hue. We have that dark hued skin, and you best believe that that is the first knock against us in this society, and that on some people's word alone, we are guilty just because we are black.
So, Doc, how do we fix that? I know it's been it's a question. It's a generational question, right? And believe it or not, audience, but you know there are instances. A lot of this is what Nehemiah has shared. We've all, especially I've experienced it, and others experienced it. But you know we don't fall victim to it, and that's why we're still pushing out, raising the consciousness of people about these issues. But what do we do? How do we fix that, Doc?
Well, Eric, that's one of our things that we constantly work on. Right, is that what we have to do, and I don't know how we'll do it, we have to educate our people and other people, but particularly our people. We have to educate them, and they have to listen. That's one of the key problems right now that I have personally encountered. With talking to especially young black men, having them to listen, because for some odd reason, we have especially our young men and some of our older have gravitated towards ignorance. The one thing that you know we should be lifting the veil of, we have fallen prey. We voluntarily climbed back under the veil. You know, simple things. And this is not trying to say that you should do what somebody else does and that's the right way to act. This is just plain old common sense. You know, why are you walking around with your pants down? Ladies out of that name, you don't even know her. All right. Why are you running out here to be in a gang? Why would you want to go out here and continually sell drugs to your own people? Why would you do these things? Why you want to go up in the man two houses down from you who goes to work just like your mother goes to work? Okay, maybe even work at the same place, but you want to go in his place and rob him. And they work on the same or similar line or at the same company. Why? Both families are struggling trying to get out of the financial situations that they're in. Why would you want to do that?
Well, I think a lot of that, Jock, has to do with the fact when you look around, and you go to major cities or you go just go to communities or whatever. When you go to Chinatown, do you find any soul food restaurants or Italian restaurants?
No.
They have a respect for their culture. They have a respect for each other. And they won't let anybody else define who they are. There may be outside influences, but those outside influences will never overtake the culture. Okay? In the black community, we will allow any and everything to influence who we are, and none of that has anything to do with a cultural awareness.
we walk around and we'll wear Polo and Gucci and well, Fucci, fake Gucci and all this kind of stuff. And yet we won't support our own folks that are making the same quality clothes that these so-called fashion stars are making. We will support somebody that hates us. Where does that happen? We can be in a community, Eric, where we are the majority. We'll be in a community where we are the majority, and yet we still feel as if though we are not worthy to be the majority rule. We won't even vote for ourselves.
And you know what? And I agree. And that's essentially what I was saying, is that we have to stop doing that. We got to start listening to people who are trying to us on these things. I have a challenge or a task for the listeners, Eric, and it kind of reflects what I'm saying.
Okay, go ahead.
If the listeners, I want the listeners. They don't have to do it all week. You don't have to do it all week. You can do it in an hour. This right here, you can do it in an hour. I want you to go and listen to an urban radio station, or what they call an urban radio station, black urban radio station. Not a gospel station, a black urban radio station. Okay, plays the top R&B or hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
For you know, that's their playlist. Okay. Then I want you to go and listen to, contemporary radio station, country radio station, a rock radio station. And you can probably do it all in an hour. There's only one of those stations that's going to have a constant theme in almost every song.
Okay.
And that's the urban radio station, at Black U.
So what's the constant theme?
The constant things, they're either going to be talking these misogynistic statements about women.
Yeah.
Talking about how I'm going to come and get you and what I'm going to do when I get you, or how many drugs I sold, or how much money and what kind of car I got.
Wow. So, but that's just it, though. That's what Cosby, that's what the detractors, in a sense, I say, Cosby has been saying in a lot of instances, and that's really Nehemiah to your point. Is that what the show is going to bring, shed some light on these things?
It probably was.
That's what the show was going to do. It was going to bring to the forefront in a way that everybody could understand, but especially black folks, his target audience. That was going to be his lasting legacy to this generation. Because on television, you reach millions of people. You reach a million. And that, he said, I did it before, I can do it again. That was going to be his legacy. That was going to be, on my way out the door, this is what I'm going to give to you. You assassinate, and that's destroyed.
And Eric, you know, the thing that I want to point out here is, you know, what typically happens, right, when a person makes a statement like I just made, the first thing the people come out and say is, oh, man, he a hater. He get mad. Come out here getting mine.
You know you won't get that.
Come out here getting mine.
Yeah, I get it.
You know what I mean? That's the first thing to say. I mean, he hate. He mad because I'm out here getting mine. He working a 9 to 5. You know, that type of thing. That's the response you hear, right?
Right.
But what kind of and they'll do this. They'll say, they'll make that statement and they'll say, okay, what have you done? I go out here and you know, give turkeys every Thanksgiving. I give all these clothes and this, that, and the other. for Thanksgiving. I'm doing all this, and I got money to do this, and this irresponsible social activity of mine, listen to this now, this mm-hmm. irresponsible activity of mine affords me the opportunity to go out here and be socially responsible. Huh?
Say that one more time.
This irresponsible social
yes,
activity of mine out here
yes,
talking
sir.
About women, talking about drugs, talking about pulling a gun on you, you know, and all this kind of stuff, and these clothes and these cars. This irresponsible social activity of mine, okay, is what's affording me the opportunity to go out here and be socially responsible in feeding people and clothing people and this, that, and the other, right? Now, let me show you what the flaw is with that. You can go out here and sell a million records talking about that, and you can take that money, and you can go out here and you support people and feed people and clothe people, right? But think of it like this. That's terminal thinking right there, okay? You need some perpetual thinking, all right?
Bro.
As long as you are socially irresponsible, this money that you take over here and the people you help is going to continuously grow, okay? That group of people that need your help continually grow. You go back, you make another socially irresponsible or participate in some more irresponsible activities, it's going to grow. That's just like a drug dealer. Drug dealer goes out there, he sells drugs, he takes the money, he goes back, gives it to the community, buys a few turkeys, buys some food. Okay, well, hey, this drug he's selling over here is what's causing the damage that's causing the people to depend on him. Okay? And think of it like this. Let's say this guy was socially responsible. Okay? Trying to bring some knowledge to people. I'm not saying you can't make a time feel good record every now and then. That's fine. But let's say he was out here and he was trying to be socially responsible in what he was doing. Then guess what? The need for him to take the finances that he has from that socially responsible activity would decrease because he's helping these people with more than just a few meals here and there. He's helping them socially by educating them, by helping them to see what's going on. Okay? And every time he does that, that group of people that really need his help decrease. It decreases. And what happens is the people who find themselves because of things that people like him do, find themselves getting out of this social quagmire, then they come back and they help him help others. And the numbers decrease even faster.
And also, Eric, you know, I look at the reason why you have this program Q, you have this internet radio program surrounded by, because you made the decision as Joshua, as in Joshua, but as for me and my house,
I will serve the Lord.
We're gonna serve the Lord. Okay, I don't care what everybody else is out here doing. I don't care what influences they allow to come into their household, as for me and my house. And so every other culture says, as for me and this culture, we are going to serve what best benefits the people that look like us. And yet we are a people that say, I done made it now. I made it. I'm somebody now. I don't need to associate myself with this or that. I was talking to a good friend of mine the other day. He said he met his father for the first time when he was 28 or 29 years old. And his father had grown up in a very impoverished area in Memphis. And
And when he went to see his father now lived in a suburb of Memphis. Do you know that his father rejected him and wanted to have nothing to do with him because he reminded him of a time when he was poor? That is a sad commentary. That's a sad commentary on who we are as a people. It says that slavery had such an effect on us. And I'm not blaming slavery, but I'm telling you, it had such an effect on us, a mental effect on us, that we still cannot get away from that mentality that we have to be dependent. What was it, Greenleaf Whittier, who said, who predicted what would happen? Isn't that who that is, Jock?
That's him.
He predicted what would happen when you just let these people out and let them loose to the wolves. And that is still out there today, even though you, me, Jock, hey, man, we've broken that cycle. As a matter of fact, we come from a people who had already broken the cycle. We're not going to allow that to happen. We're not going to be defined by slavery. We're not going to forget it, but we're not going to be defined by it.
Yep.
We're not going to let it. We're not going to blame it for everything that happens because we understand that we can break the cycle. And still, yet, we want to reach back and grab those people that we know are deaf, dumb, and blind.
Deaf, dumb, and blind.
You talked a few minutes ago. What was your initial question that you asked? Your initial question, I mean, at the beginning of the program, is silence consent? Isn't that what you said?
It's silence consent.
Let me show you. Yes, let me show you one reason. In this past midterm election, across the United States, black, white, Asian, no matter what, there was only a 32% turnout of voters in America, the lowest turnout since before World War II.
Mm.
Okay? Of that 32%, we fall down into almost the single digits. Black folks. And we should have more skin in the game than anybody else because guess what? We are the only group of people in the United States, other than women, that it took a law in order for us to even get the right to vote. And yet, we won't get out and vote.
Wow.
I don't care if you vote Republican, Democrat, Independent. It doesn't make me any difference, but at least exercise the right that somebody went out there and died for you to have. So, yeah, is silence consent? In that case, yes, it is. In the case
yes,
of Bill Cosby, I think not.
Wow. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. Thank you, Nehemiah, for sharing that. After the break, we'll continue our dialogue with these brothers. We could stay on for another 2 hours, I'm sure. So we're asking the question of the day, is silence consent? And Nehemiah just gave you one of those answers already. So we'll be right back. Call us at 310-861-2331. If you got any questions or comments or anything you want to hear or put on your heart here, we'd love to hear from you. So, again, our number is 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
Part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you leave where you are by getting you on cue with God's will. Today's question of the day is silence consent. We're talking about Bill Cosby with his allegations, and to my guest here, the Smith brothers, who are always raising the consciousness. If you haven't heard up until this point, please go back and listen once we finish the show, because there's a lot of food for thought, a lot of great and rich conversation here that both Reverend Nehemiah and Brother Jock Smith has brought to us. So, there's a lot of things I want to pick up on here, Nehemiah. You and Jock ended the last segment in such a great way about being what silence is consent. Before we do that, though, Jock, you started down. Well, I asked the question, "What do we do?" And you gave us two of the answers. One was educating, and someone need to listen. Two, stop doing things. Right? That's essentially if it's listening or whatever. And then you went on to the point of how individuals who make use their craft in order to continue to perpetuate these things that ail a community, but then turn around and give back in such a way, but the cycle continues, right? The cycle continues. And we talked about you gave an example of urban radio stations and so forth, or where they talked about the only thing you hear is degrading of women, how much money they got, what car they drive, how much drugs they sold. And that's the messaging, to your point, that our kids are hearing each and every day. But, you know, why isn't, and it's probably a question for you or even Nehemiah, why aren't we the families trying to assassinate that?
Well,
you said what?
Yeah.
We talked about that.
Pose the question again.
No, I'm just saying all of these issues. Why aren't we the new leadership, right? Why aren't leaders out there trying to assassinate that terminal thinking? To your point of degrading women, talking about drugs, how much money I got, what kind of car I drive, what type of rims I got.
First of all, you have too many pimps in the pulpit. That's the first thing. I said it. Now, I'm saying that, and I can say as a minister, you have too many pimps in the pulpit. Pimping.
Whoa,
the people,
so tell us about that, Nehemiah.
Pimping the people for the purpose of prosperity. And not a prosperity for everybody, but a prosperity for them. So are you going to be a pimp or a prognosticator? Which one are you going to do? Because, see, let me tell you something. Whenever you hear, everything, the reason why you have some of these jokers going after women, baby, I know you've been hurt, is because they realize that in this society, women hold the purse strings. A lot of times in these households, women hold the purse strings. Okay, so they're not going to attack where the money is coming from. The church, my brother was talking to me today, and he says, man, let me tell you something. You know the reason why somebody busted out your window, the kids busted out your window today when you were coming back from church to deliver news favors to the church? He said because the church has lost credibility. There's no credibility. So those children that should have been in church or would have been in church when we were kids or at home, guess what? The church has lost all kind of credibility because the same thing that's being done in the street is being done in the church. you're looking and the preacher got 3 and 4 children in the church and ain't none of them got the same mouth. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and ain't none of them his wife. You know, and he's had a crisis of faith and all this kind of foolishness. Now, it's one of the craziest things that I've ever seen in my life, but I know what the Bible says, will be beat with many stripes. And so, no, you can't go out in the community, and you can't say to the community that you need to vote. And then we do crazy things like, you because it's all about money, the church becomes a 501c3. Why is the church a 501c3 when churches are traditionally nonprofit anyway? But that's a way for you, once you're 501c3, now you can't endorse candidates from the pulpit. You can't even be the church. You can't even speak the truth. Guess what? Because the government has said, if I'm going to give you this exemption, you can't do certain things. That's no longer the church. You're no longer the church. This is the crazy stuff that's going on in our society, and especially in the black community, where we could go in. That was a time, and I'll let God go into it. That was with this Ferguson thing. That was a time when black folk, when there was an issue in our community, we would go to church, we would meet, we would organize, we would go from there, and we had a solid strategy about what we're going to do. Now everything that you see when these issues come up is so haphazard until you don't know what's going to happen.
Hmm. That's leadership, though, Jock. That's leadership.
Yeah.
That's what the Lord's talking about in Ezekiel 34. That my people stranded.
Right. That's right.
That's
you
right.
You know, back to the wolves, taking the provisions, and he's going to call them back to himself. That's what it's the call for new leadership. And we're not saying we paint the picture on every church as that's the way. But
let me tell you what you've done. Let me tell you what you've done, Eric, and I commend you for that. What you have done is you have said this. Okay. That the leadership as it stands is saying that there is a way you do certain things, and if you don't do it this way, then you can't get it done. All right, with this program, with your program of Q and what you're doing, said, look, I'm not going to wait on any church. I studied to show myself approved. These are the things that this is the thing that I need to get out and I need to do for people. That's what I'm going to do. You're not waiting to meet with the committee to meet on whether you're going to meet and do what you're going to meet to do what you do. See, that's foolish.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, forsake foolishness that you may live. So you're saying, I'm going to live. And Kennedy is going to live. And all, you know, my baby's going to live. You know, they're going to live because I'm going to set the example. I'm going to show her and my other daughter what true leadership is with my wife. I'm going to show them what family is. I'm going to show them what love is and all these things. It's like be the outside food. You affect them. And it's going to affect somebody, and so on and so on and so on.
Yeah, you know, I thank you. It's all his glory. He equipped me up in order to do certain things. But, you know, but Nehemiah Jock, you know, but isn't that what we talked about, the body of work of uplifting people, not waiting for others, what I guess Cosby's done? In a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I know that, Jock, to your point, you said, you know, and I really pray that it's not true.
Right.
And I really do. But at the same time, we gotta lift the veil. I'm just, y'all got to give me so many words here. Lifting the veil, not using a circle of logic. You know, have a perpetual thinking of how to really move a people to one condition to the next.
That's what drives
me, I think, each and every day, right? And regardless of what his silence, though, but isn't there power, though, Nehemiah, in his silence?
There is. I think that there's a dignity in his silence. There's a power in his silence. But see, I'm looking at, like I said, I look at this thing from I'm not looking at it from rose-tinted glasses. Most of the people, when I'm going to put it to you like this. First of all, the journalism is irresponsible. But because we are a microwave-driven society, we got to have it now, we got to have it fast, then we fall prey as a society. The society as a whole falls prey to this kind of media service.
that all day after Eric Powell did it, oh, the news said he did it, he did it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not thinkers anymore. We're not the thinkers that the Kings and the Kennedys and those types of people were. We're not those types of thinkers. You can see that in our Congress. These people are talking heads and don't have a clue. They can't pull from Aeschylus. They can't pull from Socrates and all that kind of stuff. Can't do it. Not without having a speechwriter to put it in there. And so it has been a dumbing down. It has been a dumbing down. So we don't look at it critically. We look at it because that's what the news said. That's what my favorite. That's what Don Lemon said, and I love Don Lemon. So, you know, it must be true because Don said it. Or because D.L. Hughley said it.
Mm.
It must be true. We don't look at this thing critically. We don't look at the whole thing. Well, what was going on here? You know? Why, you know, and to give an example, and this isn't on a tangent, this is just the reality. We look at, for instance, the going in and we're toppling Saddam Hussein's regime in Iraq, okay? But what we didn't read on the back page is that Saddam Hussein had just made a deal with the European Union that the oil coming out of Iraq will be bought with euros and not the dollar. So what does that say? That says that the United States couldn't allow that to happen. We can't allow the euro to trump the dollar, not with this oil. But nobody thought about that way. Everybody said, oh, he's a bad man because the news said he's a bad man. And guess what? He was a bad guy. But was that the impetus behind what we really did there? Because the funny thing is that the first thing we did was secure the oil field. That's funny. We didn't even secure the people. We secured the oil fields. But anyway, it's the same thing that goes on or that's going on with this Cosby thing. This coming out, he did it because so many women said he did it. And
wow.
That in and of itself is a fallacy. That right there is flawed. Because so many women said he did it, then he did it.
It is what we do. It's in the court of public opinion, and the damage is done. Jock, I ask you, is his silence, is there power, is it silent consent? Is there power in his silence?
excuse me. I think it is. I think there is. Here's the thing. This is why his silence is really one of these things where, hey, it really doesn't matter. Because unless he can come out, listen to what I'm saying, unless he can come out and have hardcore proof, indisputable proof, that not one of these incidents happened.
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter if he comes up and defend himself or not, or remains.
That's right, bro.
So why say anything?
Doesn't
you know,
matter.
I'm serious. Unless he can come out with big video, let me tell you like this, Eric. And this goes for most people, no matter what their color is. You are whatever age you are now. I know you're pretty old. You know,
yeah, I'm getting up in the years, right?
You know, in the years. But let's say 20 years ago, you was in your 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That
and
was
a young
year.
Lady. Yeah. 20 years ago, you was in your 20s. Okay. And somebody came out and said, you know, Eric Powell did this to me then. Man or woman, because of the environment that we live in, it's just like Nelma said, because of that environment, hey, man, if you can't come out with documented proof of what you did every day of your life, it don't matter if you say, it don't matter if you get out here and stand on a stump and cry until the child come home if you didn't do it, or you remain silent, guess what?
You did it.
Yeah. If the media wants to portray you like that and wants to give all the voice to one side,
mm-hmm.
then, hey, that's a story that's going to be told.
It is. But you know, Jock and Nehemiah, it's time's flying, but I want to get in this last minute, Nehemiah, and I need to piggyback on what Jock just said. And I want to toss it to you. It's a layup, I think, of even though someone would say that I did something, even if I did it, even if I admit I did it, right? When you say, when you know that your eyes have seen the coming, when things have changed, the Lord has made you over, doesn't matter anymore. Once you stand on the word, once it pierces your soul and takes control of you, the spirit takes control of you, say what they want. So my question to you is that to tell our audience how important that is. Once you do operate in that realm, fear is not an issue about what people say, or shouldn't be an issue about what people say about you and your calling or your ministry or what you're doing now, because he's made you over.
And I agree, and that's why the word is so very important from an aesthetic point. And what do I mean by that? When we look at Moses, what do we remember Moses as? We remember him as a great liberator, as a person who led the Israelites out of Egypt and set them on their way to the promised land. But guess what? Moses also killed a man. So by today's standards, he was a murderer. But that's not how we remembered him, because he was able to rise above that. And he was able to rise above that because he was committed to the will of God. When we look at Noah was a man who liked to drink a little bit. But that's not how we remember him. When we look at David was a man that sent a man to his death so that he could have the man's wife. But that's not how we remember. Because those men and women of the Bible who had done those things were able to rise above that situation, because it was only a situation. And once they rose above, they were able to rise above that situation because of their commitment and their service to God. Peter and Judas were in the same predicament.
Yep.
Peter rose above. Judas couldn't get beyond. One killed himself. One was so engulfed in faith that he probably would have killed himself, but when he heard the news that, hey, man, you're forgiven. Don't worry about it. It's all right. It had to happen that way. Then we find out that he becomes one of the great patriarchs, you know, of the church, of the modern church. So, you know, you have to tell people, don't worry about what you have done. As long as you have asked for forgiveness and God has forgiven you, it says that when he forgives, it's as if you had never done it.
Amen.
It's as if it never happened. That's why God is the only one that can mete out justice. Man can't mete out justice, because man's justice comes with conditions. Bill Cosby would never know justice or because it comes with conditions. Man's justice comes with conditions. Man's forgiveness comes with conditions. And so, you know, like Bill Cosby in his silence, I think, has risen above the fray and said, hey, why even deal with this? Why even deal with this? Okay, you've done what you think is, you know, going to destroy me, but it won't destroy me because I'm bigger than that. And I'm going to still be able to get out here and do those things that God would have me to do. I'm still going to be able to have the influence, because look at me. Look at how I looked at the situation. I wasn't jaded by what society wants me to believe. I'm a thinker. I can think for myself. And I can see things beyond the pale of what
the society has put out there. So can Eric Powell, so can Jock Smith. And so, too, we pray our children will be able to do the same thing. That no matter what somebody comes and says daddy did or mama did 30, 40 years ago, I know him for who he is and for
Amen.
What he has done to help people and to bring me up in a Christian way that I might serve the Lord. So, hey, I tell people all the time, you see them all the time, and I'm sure you do. I'm sure Job does. People can always come back to you when you go back to college or when you see your high school class. Hey, man, I remember, you remember when we did that, man, and you did this and we did that.
Right.
They can always tell you what you've done. And I tell them all the time, that was who I was, but not who I am.
Yep.
That's who I was. I ain't going to lie. You know, there's no need to come out and say that wasn't me. That's who I was, but that's not who I am. Let's talk about who I am. Yeah, I did all of that. Don't deny it. Don't shrink from it. Yeah, I did that. But who am I now? Oh, Matt, who am I now?
Amen.
I'm sure that Paul could tell you the same thing. Oh, yeah, I persecuted Christians. Killed them.
Sure did.
I did all kinds of stuff. But who am I now? Paul even said, the good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Evil is present on every hand, but I am and thankful through Christ Jesus. I ain't who I was.
Mm.
So that's my message to anybody out there that's looking at this situation. Hey, if we're going to say that we're Americans and we believe in the American way of life, then the American way of life says that you are innocent until proven guilty. Let's not pass judgment on this man not knowing everything that went on. If it did happen, then he suffers rightfully so. He rightfully suffers if it did happen. But we cannot, as Jock said earlier, we cannot dismiss all of the other things that he has done to help people and to bring people up. Because guess what? If these allegations are true, they're allegations. Notice what I say, I use the word allegation. If these allegations are true, okay, yes, they are true. But we know there are a set of facts that are not allegations.
Amen to that.
And that, too, is true. So yeah, we may have a different, if we can prove that this other stuff is true, then, hey, we got to look at him a little bit differently, but we cannot dismiss what he has done to help the people and to help people. Can't do
that.
Well,
there you have it, folks. Smith Brothers. Now, if you listen to them these last few minutes and even the whole show, you understand why they're so important to us, to me, to family. And if you ever get a chance to run across them, please do. Reverend Nehemiah Smith, Brother Jock Smith, thank you. Bottom of my heart. This has been great.
Oh, yeah.
I know we went over a little time. And thanks for those continued stand-ins. We got a little bit we want to share before we go, but this is important. It's not just about Cosby. It's about the future of our kids, of this next generation.
Right.
What this story is really
That's
about.
Right.
About the future, which should be our purpose. Thank you, brothers.
Well, hopefully you have us back after they bring back this verdict. From first.
Yes.
I got plenty to say on that too, brother.
So let's, no doubt. You'll be the first ones teed up, and let's talk about that. So there we have it, brother. People, that's Reverend Nehemiah and Brother Jock Smith, always raising the consciousness. And we thank you for staying with us. We're going to close out here for a second. You know, we've been talking about Cosby, and, you know, you don't think about about the power of silence, if the question of the day was silent consent. And, you know, I don't think about Cosby. I don't think about Plato. I don't think about Dr. King. I think about Christ Jesus, who's been front of Herod, Pilate, and as well as the high priest, who was throwing accusations to him. And Christ demonstrated such a high, extraordinary strength and dignity. He didn't resist. He didn't cry out to defend himself against a false accusation. He didn't rail against his enemies. He didn't protest his innocence, or he didn't appeal to a higher court and expose the lies of his accusers. It's amazing when you think about the one who is the Word and the one who spoke the world into existence by his word, holds the world together by his power, did not speak a word to spare his life. He had nothing evil to say about his enemies. He had nothing to say about his Heavenly Father. He held his peace. Why? Why? It's why this our ministry exists. The reasons why. When you are secure in what you are and what your calling is and aligned with the God our Father, you don't have to talk too much. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to say a lot. You don't have to say anything to your family members, to your friends who may greatly misunderstand what you're doing. You just live that life. Stay on cue what the Lord has for you to do. And in so doing, we can reflect the heart and the spirit of Jesus Christ. And I know it's the opposite way sometimes. We want to handle it in different ways. We spend little or no time talking to the Heavenly Father about it. We wrestle with these things about understanding our purpose and bringing our hearts in align with him and getting his perspective. But we instead talk endlessly about everybody else, about all the stress that we dash off in the anger, texts, or emails, or even in the media about what's going wrong. But when you're insecure about your calling, your election, that's what this series is about. We ended here tonight. When you are secure about your election, you don't have to say much. Just like Christ, he had already spoken. He had already said all that he needed to say up until that point. His time of teaching, delivering messages, sharing the truth had already been said. And now is the time for silence. And that's a point of where there could have been some truth that had come out. But even if he spoke the truth, those people who heard it didn't have a heart for truth. So the question I leave you tonight, are you secure in your calling and your election with Christ? Or are we still talking too much? Thanks for staying with us over the time. Important message. This goes beyond Cosby. It goes about the future of this generation that we are shepherding. Until next week, Kennedy's going to close us out.
Before we go, we thank our special guests, the Smith brothers, Nehemiah and Jock. We thank you for tuning in. We hope that our ministry helps you get on cue with the Lord. I have an ask for all of you. Put us on your prayer list. Like us on Facebook at OnQ Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Q Leadership. Invite a friend to listen to this show and to next week's show. If you are a leader in the church, on the field, at work, at home, in the community, or anywhere, consider us to enhance your leadership. For more information, go to our website, www.qleadership.org or .com. If you would like to be a sponsor, please email us at onq@qleadership.com. Also, be on the lookout for my dad's book, Leader in the Mirror, which will be out soon. We give all honor and praise to Christ our Savior. I'm sure my dad thanks his producer, assistant me, his better half, best friend, and wife, my mom, my little sister Carson, all of our family, friends in life, and on Facebook. We dedicate the show to my eldest first cousin, Philip. Happy birthday. This has been On Cue Radio. Until next week, get on cue with God's will, get on cue with God's election on your life, and get others on cue with that election.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
We lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue for His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
of the issue. But their power, their position is making sure their community comes alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.